mom lost her house in San Bernardino.
Right, right.
And all of that. And, you know, you go there now, there's vegetation growing, you know? It's
sure.
coming back.
It replenishes itself. That's
right.
what it does.
Those are natural phenomena.
Yes.
That, you know, some of these are set fires, admittedly, but if they're not set fires, the normal thunderstorms that happen in the summertime in the mountains that cause lightning strikes and spark fires cause these things to happen. And so these are not abnormal phenomena. These are all normal climate change that the world has gone through ever since it was put into being. And the issue is that Al Gore and those people want to blame it on human beings because all they want to do is control human behavior. And so that's what it's all about. It's not about does man actually cause it. And basically, it's like spitting in the wind what man does to it. And there's no proof whatsoever that this is not a natural cycle of warming and cooling that the Earth goes through, because we've had severe ice ages before. So obviously after the ice age, since we no longer have an ice age, somehow we had global warming in between, and that was a good thing.
Something yeah. made the ice go away.
So, you know, and that's the whole point. They're trying to just put this onto people's... And then it's actually to prove that it's not really, and oh gosh, you're going to love this. To prove that they're not really serious about it is all of these pollution credits. Are you familiar with that, pollution credits?
No. What is that?
Okay. Well, pollution credits are businesses can buy pollution credits from other people so that, you know, it's allowed for you to purchase pollution credits, and so somebody else sold you theirs. Because let's say I have a piece of land that's
okay,
5 square miles
all right
of land. Well, I'm allowed to, per my 5 square miles, allowed to pollute a certain amount per
oh, yeah.
5 square miles.
Okay, yeah.
If I choose not to develop my land, I can sell those credits. I can get some money from somebody who can then open up a dry cleaner or whatever he wants to do, and he can pollute happily, merrily away because he bought pollution credits. And I literally saw a car driving down the freeway with a bumper sticker saying that, like, it's okay I'm driving this car because I purchased pollution credits.
Unbelievable.
So this is like a liberal, you know, earth-loving idiot driving his Prius or whatever down the highway, and he's proud to be polluting because he bought it. He bought his pollution credits from somebody, and so now he can pollute his merry way. So they're not really truly interested in stopping pollution.
Right. All right. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Now here's another one. Here's another one. You will love this because this is what Villaraigosa did.
Villaraigosa is the mayor of Los Angeles.
Yes.
All right.
For those of you who don't live in the land of fruits and nuts.
Right.
And some flakes. it's the cereal country out here in California.
Yep.
Anyway, there was a building that they wanted to build, a skyscraper downtown. And again, now they have airspace credits, and they don't want to have too much high density buildings and too many skyscrapers. And so this skyscraper wanted to be built, but they would only allow it to be 6 stories tall, because that's all that land was allowed to sustain, was a 6-story building. Well, they wanted to build like an 80-story building.
Yeah.
So Villaraigosa,
what,
sold the owner of the property the airspace credits. He sold it from some of the Staples Center and the LA Convention Center, because clearly those aren't going to be built up any higher, and they are zoned that they can be, there can be some high rises there.
That's
so
the
they've got unused air credits. This is this is just pay me off.
Yeah.
Pay me off this money. and you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And that's what the pollution thing is, too. It's just a payoff.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Man, it is just insanity. For someone just calling the studio here, we're in the middle of a webcast, and so can you call us back in about 45 minutes?
We sure can.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye. All right, I don't know who that was, but thank you for calling.
That's what all this is about. And so it's not truly about climate change. It's more about who gets paid for what and
about money.
Right. And the elite can always pay to play, and the other masses out there are going to be under the thumb of the people that have the money.
The whole thing with turning all this stuff green is just one big money venture, because to try to change over cars, to try to change over buildings, light bulbs in your house, and to force people who own a home to change and pay for all these changes. You know, somebody gets paid for all that construction and all those materials. So it's nothing but a big money game to go green.
Well, and this whole deal with the Priuses and everything, and all of the hybrid cars and the battery technology and everything. But actually, the toxins that they create building batteries, and they really haven't gotten into the point of disposing of these batteries yet, but they're going to have to dispose of all these batteries with battery acid and all of these lithium byproducts and nickel cadmium and all of those types of things that are much, much worse pollutants than what's generated by the combustion, internal combustion engines.
Right.
And so, again, they're not truly interested in the environment. And the people who think that I'm happily driving my Prius and I've got 50 miles to the gallon, I'm such a wonderful conserver of the earth. Well, you're actually one of the worst people polluting the earth with the battery technology.
It is so crazy. You know, it comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen. If the younger generation has been brainwashed to believe these things. If you do the research and investigate these things yourself, you will find that what they have told us are lies. And now the whole country, we're about to start fighting each other, throwing blows at each other. Now when we start biting off fingers and carrying on like this, because there's certain people that want a socialistic government to take care of everything, make it all right. America has never been that kind of a country. It has never been that kind of a country. What we have to do is we have to come to the point where we have to try. Like a lady told me not too many days ago, she says, just as Jesus told his disciples to go and go fishing for a coin in the river, Mr. Coleman, you should do that and trust God for the things in your life. Now, I don't know whether she was being sarcastic, but that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust God. Healthcare, God is going to take care of me. If he doesn't take care of me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to die. We're going to get into Bob's report in a few seconds. I want to just refer you guys to Chuck Baldwin's website. Chuck Baldwin, very conservative Christian pastor that lives in Florida. All right. And he has, I think, a wonderful website. You guys got to know that I have joined the Chuck Baldwin's Black Regiment Brigade. When you tap into that from Baldwin's website, you will go into the California people that are in the Black Robe Brigade, and lo and behold, there's John Coleman right in the list. This is a list of pastors that will not compromise, that will not compromise their faith, that will not compromise their preaching, that is going to preach the truth. Now, so if you are living, and if you are living anywhere in the country and you're looking for a Bible church, somebody that's going to preach to you, they got it from Alabama to Wyoming. And I don't know too much about these men, but we all had to read the requirements to be in what they call the Black Regiment Pastors. And there are Black Regiment Pastors in your area. We meet in a particular home church right now. Now, I didn't know whether Chuck knew about my home church movement here in L.A., but he writes something very interesting in his website about this. He says, the underground church is where real Christians go to worship God with honest, like-minded believers. He says, the underground church in America is not totally underground yet, but the schism is taking place rapidly. Unlike the house of state worship, which enjoy large congregations and ornate buildings, underground churches are for the most part small and unassuming. Home churches are also mushrooming and must be considered a part of the underground church movement. And of course, black regiment churches are springing up all across the country. Then he asks you to see the list. And I'm sharing this with you, ladies and gentlemen, because a lot of you are looking for good Bible churches. Those things are about gone. You're not going to be able to find them. Go ahead, Bob.
I'd like to give you a related story from last night.
Okay.
A friend of mine who I haven't heard from in a while, my friend from the beach community with his family, I was in contact with him last night, and he's been at a church, and it's a person that he knew, I think, from high school, who's the pastor, and you know, and he says that he's made him aware of a lot of these things, issues going on with, you know, purpose driven and things like that, and the pastor's been receptive about such things and everything. But then again, the kind of the game playing takes place where last year, coming upon Halloween, the church was having Harvest Festival.
Yes.
And he was indicating to the pastor that, you know, you know, really the roots of that, it's a pagan kind of a celebration, and you're kind of mixing, you know, the world in with the church. Well, the world's doing this, but this is our alternative, but it's not really an alternative. It's more similar to it than it is different than it.
Yes.
You know, and he's letting him know that, you know, we're really supposed to, you know, come out from among them. You know, we're supposed to be separate. We're not supposed to do all the things that the world does.
Absolutely.
And the pastor was very receptive and understood and said, you know, I hadn't really thought of it that way, and perhaps the Lord is, you know, speaking to me through you.
There comes the language.
And, you know, and you know, I mean, it's already out. We have flyers out. It's, you know, it's about to happen. So, you know, I can assure you we're not going to do it next year. You know, we're still going to pursue it this year, but, you know, but I understand your concerns and everything. Well, his friend was out of the church for a couple of weeks and then was somewhere and then came back. And sure enough, they're doing it again this year and same old thing. And then the plan is for Christmas to have a big Christmas tree in the sanctuary with a star and all this stuff. And so, you know, he's letting the pastor know that, you know, certain people have convictions against those things.
Right.
And again, the roots of them really aren't in Christianity. And but just the typical thing, he's now very discouraged because the pastor gives him all of this language of, you know, kind of
He builds him up.
I'm trying to
up.
Think of the you know, where he's consolation type of language and patting him on the back and saying everything's going to be okay and I understand and God's talking to me through you and all this and I appreciate your concern and love you, brother, and all this nonsense, when he had no intention in the first place of changing his programs. And, you know, so he wasn't. So he's very disingenuous now, all of a sudden, and the friend now has a pastor that's been disingenuous with him, and, you know, he feels, you know, very much let down.
And isn't that, you see, it's designed to do that to you. It's designed to discourage you and to move you on to something else. And that's why you have to find a group of individuals that just want the Bible and doesn't want all of the other frills that come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck says, and I'm convinced that it is through these independent, unaffiliated, unorganized, or underground churches that the relevancy will return, he says. It is in these churches where Christians can be taught biblical principles of natural law, because you see, you're going to be hogtied into homosexuality and same partner relationships in those churches. It says where children who are disciplined and know how to behave are not considered oddities, where pastors aren't afraid to proclaim truth, where people are still committed to constitutional government. And I'm telling you, that is a very important deal there, because there are so many churches. I asked my students in the college class, what are we, a democracy or a republic? Most of the students said that we are a democracy.
Right.
One student said, we are a republic. I said, would you tell them again? And I had a classroom full of students, 65 students, and they didn't know what he was talking about. Right. They had no idea.
No.
And I said, that's what they've done to you.
Right.
You don't even know what.
Right. We're a democratic republic.
We are a democratic republic. This is not a democracy. Well, anyhow, I really appreciate Chuck Baldwin's statement, and you can go to his website, chuckbaldwin.com, and really read a lot of his articles. Well, I guess we can come on down since we're 30. Oh, wait a minute. One more thing before we come into Bob's article. I got an email, and somebody was saying, I got a picture on this laptop of Obama with tears coming down his face, and somebody said that you are asked to keep this circulating. Lord, we pray for optimum health, mental clarity, and political prosperity for President Barack Obama. We pray that what he lacks in political experience, you will make up with supernatural wisdom and power. We also pray that when his enemies come upon him, that they will stumble and fall, and that your love for him, that your love will fill his heart to the end, that your will be done through him. We pray mightily for his protection. As we plead the blood of Jesus over him and his family, we ask you to dispatch legions of angels to protect them from all hurt, harm, danger, and from all incidents and accidents and incidents, which as he, the President of the United States of America, we thank you. Now, I had a Christian man respond to this prayer for Obama, and he said this: we need to add a few more lines to this prayer. We pray that he turn from his wicked ways. We pray that he stop supporting the shedding of innocent blood, which is abortion. We pray that he stops promoting abomination, which is homosexuality. And we pray that his actions don't bring further judgment upon our nation. And lastly, we pray that he repents of his sins and turns his life over to Jesus.
Yeah, what's this deal with our will being done through him? Well, we're supposed to be praying, Lord, not our will,
but thine,
your will
be done. Because they have him as a Messiah thing, and they're trying to spread this all over the nation. To pray for this man. I don't know whether he was really crying or a gnat got in his eye and whatnot, but come on, you're not gaining my sympathy from putting a picture like that up on the internet. This kind of foolishness is going over the internet, and I've been reading, Mark, some of the white boys' statement when they see this, and they're getting kind of feisty about this. You know, they getting, I mean, it's right on the verge of some racial stuff coming up. It's getting real feisty now.
It is.
And so, you know, we really need to pray, because most people in this country are heathens. They are not saved.
No, exactly.
They are heathens, Bob, and they will do what a heathen has to do. And, oh, my God. All right, Bob, what's your report? Tells us about this English fiasco here.
Sentenced to death on the NHS, the National Health Service. This is by Kate Devlin, medical correspondent from the London Telegraph. Patients with terminal illnesses are being made to die prematurely under an NHS scheme to help end their lives, leading doctors warned today. In a letter to the Daily Telegraph, a group of experts who care for the terminally ill claim that some patients are being wrongly judged as close to death. Now remember, you've heard recently with respect to the national health system that our president wants to put in place, that some of the opponents to it have referred to things as death panels, and then now they have been labeled as extremists and absolutely ridiculous. But listen to socialized medicine that has a few years of experience down the line.
Yes, yes.
This is a little bit ahead of the United States healthcare system, which is supposedly coming, and hopefully not. It says, back to the article, under NHS guidance, National Health Service guidance, introduced across England to help doctors and medical staff deal with dying patients, they can then have fluid and drugs withdrawn, and many are put on continuous sedation until they pass away. A la Michael Jackson. But this approach can also mask the signs that their condition is improving, the experts warn. As a result, the scheme is causing a national crisis in patient care, the letter states. It has been signed palliative care. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Experts including Professor Peter Millard, Emeritus Professor of Geriatrics, University of London. These people sound credible.
Okay.
Dr. Peter Hargraves, a consultant in palliative medicine at St. Luke's Cancer Center in Guildford, and four others. They say forecasting death is an inexact science. Patients are being diagnosed as being close to death without regard to the fact that the diagnosis could be wrong. As a result, a national wave of discontent is building up as family and friends witness the denial of fluids and food to patients.
They're killing them.
Thirst and starvation.
Yeah, they're killing them.
The warning comes just a week after a report by the Patients Association estimated that up to 1 million patients had received poor or cruel care on the NHS. The scheme, called the Liverpool Care Pathway, LCP, was designed to reduce patient suffering in their final hours. Developed by Marie Curie, the cancer charity, in a Liverpool hospice, it was initially developed for cancer patients, but now includes other life-threatening conditions. See, they start a little bit, and then they expand it.
They branch it out.
Yeah, yes.
It was recommended as a model by the National Institute